I think a very important avoda in our Avodas Hashem, a new avenue in our Avodas Hashem, which you can see very much connects to, as you guys probably saw in your Bekoros, connects to Rachel Imenu. We're going to first two sources together, and it tells us in sources 2, 3, and 4 that Rachel was buried by Derek Ephrasi this Lechem, that she's buried on the road to Ephrat, which is Beit Lechem. And later on, when Yaakov is dying and he calls in Yosef, he's scared. He's scared that Yosef's not going to want to bury him. And he tells Yosef in source number 3, why is he scared that Yosef's not going to want to bury him? Because he buried, as I was coming to Eretz Yisrael, Rachel dies. And the Ekber Sham Baderek Ephrat Yibir Lechem, I buried her there on the way. And Rashi tells us, Ekber Hashem, when he buried her there, the Lohokasa Afilu Bis Lechem Lechem Lechem, he didn't even bring her into the city. He literally buried her on the side of the road. Okay, and it's like weird, like why is she being buried on the side of the road? That's like, well, come on, it's his wife. He loved her. We know that the Talmud tells us how much he loved her. So like this is what he does with his wife. So I want to understand, why is she buried there? Why does she die during childbirth? Okay, there's some depth. There's something that the Torah is teaching us and telling us that we're going to explore as we get towards the end.
How long is the other?
Now, we know, and you guys saw that there's tears are very much associated with Rachel. And I want to, again, I'm going through different sources within the Rashis right now where tears come up, and I want to try to find a common denominator. Okay, so it's 5 minutes. Here we go. First one we see by Hagar. It's source number 5. Hagar and Ishmael are leaving Avram in his house. Avram gives them water. The water runs out. And we see with source number 5, that Yechdu HaMayin HaKamas, the water ran out. But Yishlecha Seyel HaTachas Achad HaSikham, she put the child down. But Tehle Tesla Meneger HaRecha, blah, 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 blah. At the end of Pasuk Tazayin, it says, Batisa as Kola Batev. She lifted up her voice and she cried. Who's she?
Hagar.
Now the next pasuk. Anybody pick up on this? Vayishma Elokim as Kol. Nah. Hashem listened to whose voice?
Ishmael.
Well, the Nar. So let's assume the Nar is Ishmael. So what's going on? The pasuk before told us who's crying.
Hagar.
Who gets responded to? Ishmael. Well, where does Ishmael come from? We're like, what's going on? So I brought you the Radak and Rashi. That the Radak tells us by Yishma Elokim is called Nar. What does it mean that Hashem heard his voice? Like where did that come from? God who Isa is calling back, because he also was calling out to Hashem and crying. The pasuk tells us Hagar is calling out, but that doesn't just mean Hagar. It means Hagar and Ishmael were crying out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But we see again he's crying also. And why is he listening to that Hagar? So Rashi tells us in source 7, Mikan Shiyama Tfila Sakola Mitfila Sakhim Alam. We see from here the power of somebody who is sick and davening for himself more than others who davening for him. Because who got answered?
Yishmael.
Yishmael was the one that was sick. Both him and his mother were crying out. He's answered because he was the sick one, and his tefillah has more significance. And I want to understand why. You're going to say, but aren't there places that say that when people bow to you? Sorry?
No, actually,
okay.
But that's
yeah.
A good point.
Yeah.
It's, I mean,
it does
say,
call
it.
Yeah, anybody bow, it's better for you to bow for other people than you. Yes.
But, could it be that because a person, like when a person's bowing for themselves, they're praying harder, and therefore, by default, it's going to be.
Oh, very good. So, well, again, I just want to stop the question. I think, yes, we're going to develop a whole mahalakha that's going to go along those lines. But yes, I think you're very on the ball there. Yeah.
While she was crying for him, right?
She was crying for him, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, her kavanah aleiv is for him. It's like Hashem's answering him.
But it seems like he's answering his tefillah, not her tefillah.
But, like, that's what she wanted. Like, she wanted it.
So you can see it's highlighting what she was davening for. What she davened for him to be healed. So, listen, the only thing I don't like is... They just say Yishmael was crying, and Hashem listened to Yishmael. So, like, why are you even telling me? Like, I think there's something here that we're saying that maybe it's pointing to that she cried, but maybe her crying wasn't as powerful as Yishmael. Or maybe she cried for the wrong reasons. If you look in the Alshach in source 8, I think this is what it means. But Yishmael came as Kol Hanar Bolos Kolah. God listened to him and not her. Why? I can't hide some Maras Nefesh. I don't know what that means.
Bitter heart, soul.
You know what? It may mean something else than what I thought about when I first learned it. Forget source 8. I don't want to say it because I may be interpreting it wrong. I don't want to say it. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't affect this shit in any way. I thought it said something about it. I think it says what I want to say, but I don't want to say it because I'm not 100% sure. Okay? So, yeah.
Just kind of like a side point.
Yeah.
I feel like if we're talking about like tears and we get very technical about it, how like some people laugh, like when they laugh a lot, they cry. And some people went, like when they're really sad, they cry. But I feel like it kind of just shows that like you could also be like empathetic and cry about something else. You can cry about yourself. But it doesn't like really make so much sense. Like everybody in the Torah, like some of these people in the Torah, when they cry, they're crying to God. Like usually when you cry, like you're not crying to God.
Any other similar events of crying? Okay, Moses is filled with tears. It's interesting. See, as I was like exploring this and trying to think, there's so many tears going on. It's cool. The Tama Sarah, again, this is going to happen next week, Parsha. Unfortunately, not here. He said, I'm usually the Kavron of Shabbos. The Shabbos, Kavron of Shabbos. Maybe we should go to Kavron, but if not, we're going to go in the end of the year.
Should we really
family.
Go?
No, I'm not answering this question right now. You should maybe think about going. If it's for you, you can
is
come
to me. Is super packed?
I'm not talking about this right now. Now, at the end of the year, though, after Pesach, the first Shabbos back, me and my family will be going with you guys. The whole time of wine to Hebron. It's going to be an unbelievable Shabbos. We're going to be singing that. It's going to be unbelievable. Okay, it's going to be Mamish with the Abos. It's going to be unbelievable. Okay, now, some people look forward to it. It says that Abram comes and buries Sarah. And the end says, but Abram, least spoiled the Sarah, because Abram comes to give hespit and to cry for Sarah. So we see that there is already, by Abram, you know, again, tears. And another story that we have here is Esau. Esau comes home to get his bracha from Yitzhak, and what does he find out?
That it was stolen.
Yaakov stole the bracha from him. He says, but Yisa Esau kol be'avei. Esau went nuts. He started screaming. He was crying. And Chazal tells Abraham, Yitzhak gave him the bracha because he was crying. That through the source of those tears, he was zochet to bracha. Okay? And there's a lot of things. I didn't want to get too focused on Esau's tears. We see again, I'm trying to point out that Esau has tears here. And then not only that, we see again that Esau has tears. When does he have tears?
When he meets Yaakov.
When he encounters his brother Yaakov for the first time, after all these years, in source number 11, but Yaakov, it's Esau because of Yaakov, that he kissed him, he fell on his neck, Yishakehu. Again, he hugged him and kissed him, and he cried. And they cried, actually. It's interesting, they both of them were crying. And the Rebbe has to tell us why they cried. The Yivku Kashir Asad Yosef Imachav, just like Yosef did when he reunited with his brothers, they're crying. And I'm going to want to come and understand what these tears are. What are the tears of Avraham? What are the tears of Esau? What did it mean? It's like the tears of Yosef when he met his brother. Good. Good so far.
Yeah.
Okay. We're just pointing out all the times we see tears. We see the first time there's. Again, we see another allusion to tears, which is interesting because we think that Rachel is the one that we know is crying. Right? Rachel of Bakal, but now she's the one crying for her children. But it's interesting, the first of when we introduce the sisters, who's the one that seems to be crying? Leah. In source 13, Galavan Shte Baros, Shevang Dol Leah, Shevang Tan Rachel. He had two daughters, Leah and Rachel. Amy Leah Rachel. The eyes of, again, there's how to interpret this, in a lot of different ways of interpreting it, but her eyes were weak. Wasn't it was weak? So the Medrash tells us, again, this is probably the famous word that we all heard, but again, there's different ways of explaining it. It says her eyes were weak, because what was she doing?
She was crying.
Why?
Because she knew she was marrying Esau.
Because you know what happened? Laban had twin girls. Yitzhak
had two
daughters. And then what happened was, Yitzhak has twin boys. Yaakov and Esau. Everybody said, amazing, shit. Leah's going to marry Esau, and Rachel's going to marry Yaakov. And you know what happened? So they knew this already. They knew that this was going to happen. And Leah, you know what she did? You know, she was sneaky. She said, you know, like her Rebbe who taught at her seminary taught at Esau's yeshiva said, hey, what's going on with Esau? Tell me about him. Is he my Zimon? And he said, like, no. He's really like, Esau's like off the deck. You know what I mean? Like, and she said, I thought, like, this Hashem doesn't have to marry. This is what I've been waiting for Mary to bring Malchus Hashem into the world with him, with this little punk over here. But he had to sit us out and pay us, but he, like, wasn't doing too much. Okay, and that's why Leah's crying. So we see Leah's crying, and the bitter herself, the schluss her tears, she was able to then marry Yaakov Avinu. So again, we see this concept of tears, and all these people are crying. The ultimate place, I believe, of tears in Bereishis revolves, I believe, around one person.
Rachel.
It's Rachel. Okay, it's interesting because we just think Rachel Mavaka Vaneha, that's like what we think about Rachel. Was when I was preparing for the share, I realized something. That every person who comes in contact with Rachel, or the main characters, what the result of it is tears. Where do we see it? Because interesting, if you look at source 15, the first time Yaakov Avinu meets Rachel, what happens? He cries. He sees Rachel, he starts crying out and screaming and crying. It's crazy. I didn't realize that Yaakov, it's interesting, because Yaakov, he should be, if you ask me, like, if I had to think about like one person who should be a crier in the Torah, I would be Yaakov. Yaakov is like such a, again, it's an amazing life, but he goes through so much. His brother wants to, he has to deceive his father. His brother wants to kill him. He has to go to Laban's house where he's cheated over and over and over again. Granted, he gets Rachel Leah and creates a family. And then he goes, his daughter gets raped. And then his son thinks he gets killed. And all these bad things are happening to him. I would think he should be a crier. The only time we see that he really cried, it's interesting, with Esau, maybe he's crying. And but right, Rachel, the Pasuk tells us outright that he is Vayeh. And it's connected to Rachel. Yeah.
Well, if anything, if he had such a hard life, he's not going to cry so much because he's been through so much. So, like, maybe the fact that he cried here was, like, strange,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, we see, like, when he gets to Lamentel, she should be crying. So we'll see that there are people that the Torah tells over and over again they cry. Okay, we're going to see about Yosef. Yosef was, like, a crybaby. Non-stop crying. His brother, Benjamin, was a crybaby. They were criers. The Torah goes out of its way to tell us that they were crying. That they had tears. Yaakov Avinu, he has only when he's by Rachel. And why? Because she's going to be buried, not with him. And that's what makes him cry. Which is interesting because he decided to bury her on the side of the road. Again, he did that because of Ruach HaKodesh. But it's interesting that that is what's causing him to cry. Why is that causing Yaakov to cry? Yeah.
But I think that
not to... Again, it's Yosef. Okay? Yosef, when does he initially cry? When does he cry for the first time?
When he saw his brothers?
No.
He said no.
When his brothers came, he did not cry. Vayisa eina vayaris binyamin achiv ben imo. The Torah is pointing out it was Binyamin, his brother from his mother. And then he cries. He can't hold himself back.
Which source is this?
This is source 17. Source 17, he cannot hold himself back. He sees his brother, Binyamin, his mother's brother, mother's son, boom, he starts crying. That's one. Then it says in source 18, "Vayitein es kolo b'vakev yish mitzayim yishol pleis paro." When he sees his brother, when he finally reveals himself to his brothers, when he once again reunites with them, he can't stop crying. He cannot stop crying. And then after that, when he reunites with his brother Binyamin, in source 20. They were both crying. Both of them are crying. Yosef and Binyamin. They're crying on each other, soldiers. Who are Yosef and Binyamin?
Brothers.
Yeah, from who's their mother? Rachel. I think it's not coincidence. These are the two children out of all the brothers that are crying. And I think we see that when there's a connection coming from the world of Rachel, there's something that has to do with tears. That has to do with crying. And what were they crying about? They were crying about the destruction that's going to happen to the Jewish people in the future. Yosef had the Mishkan in his property. The Mishkan is going to be in the territory in Shiloh, which belongs to Yosef. And that's going to be destroyed. They saw this. And Binyamin, and Yosef saw that Binyamin is going to have the Beis HaMikdash in his property. And that's going to be destroyed. It says Rashi in Source 21. And they both cried on each other for the destruction that's going to happen in the future to Klal Yisrael. And that's what brings up the tears. And I want to understand why. And then we see it again. Yosef's crying again. Yosef comes to meet his father. Guys, they didn't see each other for 22 years. Think about, picture this. If you can picture it, you're going to start crying. They didn't see each other for 22 years. His father comes down. He's an old man. He hasn't seen him in so long. And it says in 22, Vayaser Yosef ha-kavaso v'yahu likros Yisrael avi v'goshna. Yosef gets off his chariot and he goes to greet his father. Vayera lo v'yipo atzvarav v'yavek atzvarav od. And he cried on his shoulders, on his neck. Who is crying? So Rashi tells us in Source 23, it doesn't say they cried, it says he cried. Who is he?
Yosef.
Not only he cried, it said he was bursting out in tears, he couldn't control himself. What about Yaakov? Yaakov didn't see his son for 22 years. Not one tear, could have one, just one shed, one tear. Perhaps how was he doing? Saying Kriya Shema? He was sitting there saying, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael. I don't understand. Yosef didn't have to say Kriya Shema. Also, some say he was doing mitzvah Kibra Ve'im, so he was pater, also doing mitzvah pater of a mitzvah. If you're doing a mitzvah, you have to do another mitzvah. So maybe, but I understand. If Yaakov knew he was about to see his son, so say Shema 2 minutes before you arrive. What, he didn't say Shema? He's so mocked. I'll say Shema when I see Yosef. What's wrong with you? Okay. So again, Yaakov, again, this goes back to my theory. Why isn't Yaakov crying? Like, he should be a crier here. Okay? Good. Fine. Yeah.
So you keep like you said a few times like that was 22 years.
Fine. And then finally we come to Rachel herself. Source 24. We all know this, right? Call about Hashem. Call the name of Yishma.
How many people are singing? Yeah.
Okay. Now. Rachel Mavaka, but now Rachel, she sits and cries for her children. And she sits and cries for her children. At the end of the days, Hashem Baruch is going to come and say, Rachel, your tears paid off. Because of your tears, because of you crying, your children are going to return to their land. And the picture we have of Rachel, I have to see, imagine Rachel and Leah sitting there and crying. That's what defines her. And not only that, the famous Medrash in Eicha, Jukali did a 7th grade production on it. We're going to show it next class. We're going to get the projector here. We'll show everybody your 7th grade production. And this Medrash Eicha, one of the most famous Medrash Eicha that exists. I wanted to picture this cover. To me, it's like my heart like gets warm from hearing this. That first Baruch Hu destroys the Beis Hamikdash. And the Malachim go to Chevron. And the Malachim go to the Avos Evangelists. They're like, wake up, we need you. I was like, what's going on? And I was like sitting there, like, he's having a nice nap. You know what I mean? Like, well, who's bothering me? And the Malachim say, you don't know what's happening in Yerushalayim. They say, what? Your children are being destroyed. I was like, what? Avram storms up to Yerushalayim and he pounds on the door and says, Hashem, what are you doing to my children? And again, I brought you parts of the magic. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do you remember what I did for you? I gave up my life for you. I gave up everything. I did lech lecha, me'art lecha, me'besavicha. I was willing to take my child. I bound him up. I had the knife to his neck. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember that? He says, yeah, so can you please save my children? Hashem says, no. And Yitzchak hears, he sees Avraham coming back on the press. He goes upstairs. Karsh Baruch Hu, I was 40 years old when my father took me up across the street by my wife to Har HaBayis. And I asked him, Abba, where's the sacrifice? And like Avraham kind of gave him that look of like,
funny story.
Yeah. You know, I spoke to God this morning, 3 days ago, and he told me that you're the sacrifice. And Yitzchak said, why is it called the Kedas Yitzchak, the binding of Yitzchak? Because Yitzchak said, Abba, tie me tighter in case I move. He was 40 years old. Can you imagine, you're 40 years old, and your old father tells you, I'm going to slaughter you. Like, I would have just ran. He's like, tie me tighter so I don't move. Because that was me. Save my children. He said, no. Yaakov comes, and Yaakov says, Hersh Baruch Hu, I suffered for you, and I had all the Shvatim, and no. Moshe comes, no. David comes, no. Finally, it says, but also Shah, this is the source 25, that last bolded part on page 4, but also Shah cuts a Rachel Imenu, it's not Hersh Baruch Hu. Rachel jumps up and goes to Hashem. Ra'am Rabbona Shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go and lefanecho sheYaakov avecho avani ahava Yisera. You know that Yaakov loved me so much. And he loved me more than my sister. You know that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you know if I wanted to, I could have been with Yaakov. And I could have kept him for myself. And you remember I did, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I knew my sister would be embarrassed. I knew... I pictured the humiliation that she would have when my father was going to give her to Yaakov. You know what I did, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Even though I knew I was giving up my whole life, I gave her the signs. Not only did I give her the signs, kind of listen to what the Medrash says. The Medrash says, what I have to do is I gave her the signs. Great, but Yaakov's going to figure out when he goes with her that night to this house that it's her. He said, I sat under the bed. And I spoke for Leah. Every time Yaakov would say something, I answered. I gave up everything for my sister. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, page number 5, the bolded part. Miyad nidgalgidu rachamav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Rachel, v'amar bishvilech Rachel, because of you, Rachel, I'm going to return your children back to Eretz Yisrael, back to Yerushalayim. They'll have a Beis Hamikdash again. It's going to be because you. Why? It didn't say because you gave her the signs. Because it says, Kol Amar Hashem, quotes a psukim in Yirmiyahu. Because Rachel is crying for her children. And because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you will be the source of why they come back. And I want to understand, why not Abraham? Why not Yitzhak? Why not Yaakov? Why Rachel? What's this whole exchange? I gave you the signs. Oh, that says because of your crying, you will get, your children will go back. What does this all mean? Because it seems that part of Geulah is going to be those tears. And we see a remnant to this in Shir HaMaalos, and we say every time on a Shabbos and Yantif, or any day you don't say Takrim, we say Shir HaMaalos, Veshuv Adonai Hashem. We say in source 26, Hazori Vidima Virina Yitzoru. That you're gonna plant with tears and you'll collect your crops dancing in song. What does Hazori Vidima that you plant with tears? Two more things that we're gonna get to the Yisod. The first is three more things actually. It says in source 27, 28. Is a person allowed to cry at Shabbos? Yes or no?
Yeah.
No, you're not allowed to cry at Shabbos. No, there's an exception. The rule is you're not allowed to cry at Shabbos. And the Shulchan Aruch says, if your crying will bring you relief, will bring you oneg, then you're allowed to cry. What does that mean? Says the Mishnah Berurah. What it means is, if through your connection to God, through your Bedekos, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you become connected to God, you are crying, you're allowed to cry those tears on Shabbos. And the question is, why can't you cry on Shabbos? And why can you cry those tears? That's another question. I'm not thinking any questions, but we have to finish this. Source 29, what, two more things here. Amar Rabbi Elazar, another thing about tears. Miyom shen nichrab v'ayit Beis HaMikdash ninalo shavit tefillah, when the Beis HaMikdash were destroyed, the gates to tefillah were closed. Meaning davening didn't work anymore. That's pretty depressing. I daven every day. But the Gemara goes out to say, don't worry about Abba Fisha shavit tefillah ninalo, even though the gates to tefillah are locked, no matter how you open it, shavit dimos lo ninalo. The tears, the gates of tears, unlock it. Are not locked. You can go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your tefillos can be answered. Your tefillos have koach when there are tears. And the question is, why? Why does tefillah not work? Why do tears work? What's going on over here? These are important yisodos. Again, you see that tears by themselves very important things. Tefillah, Shabbos, these are very important inyanim in our lives. And one last thing.
What about Shabbos?
Shabbos, you're not allowed to cry on Shabbos.
Oh.
So we see that there's a connection here with tears. I would think that you should for sure cry on Shabbos. If tears are so elevated, it seems the tears are elevated. Rachel is going to be redeemed because she's crying, so why can't I cry on Shabbos? Right? Now, one last thing. Famous song. You guys were singing this also. When you were at Source 30. We say Shivchi Kamayim Mibeit Nochach B'nei Hashem. We say in Eicha that Shivchi Kamayim Mibeit, that your heart should be crying, should be flowing with water. And we see here a concept of what I want to understand. What does it mean that your heart? What's the connection here with it? Should be your eyes. Shivchi Kamayim Minecha. Your eyes should be flowing with tears, with water. What does it mean that your heart should be flowing with tears, with water? What does that mean? Now I want to get to the sod. Now I want to ask Rachel to give us right now Siyata Shmaya. Now we're coming to Rachel and you're a couple blocks away. Of what's tears? Of what does this mean in my Boris Hashem? And we're going to say Rabbeinu Bechaya, which we already said before in this class, but we're going to look at it a different way. Or we're going to allude to the same some points that we've already said. I think within this, Rabbeinu Bechaya opens, unlocks an idea of what tears are. Rabbeinu Bechaya tells us that Bris Krusel Amelech Meshesis Amei Bereshis, that Hashem Baruch Hu made this covenant with salt. Remember we spoke about the whole salt business over here? Why was that? Means Shiftuchu Ma'at Tachtonim Likarei B'melech V'Nosek Amei Bechaya. Hashem Baruch Hu, why did He give us salt or korbanos and the water libation at Sukkis? What was that for? To appease the lower waters. What was the appeasement? The Gate of Measures tells us, Bayim Tonim Nikru Bayim Bochim. What are the lower waters called?
Waters of crying.
Waters of crying.
They weren't close to God.
Why? What?
Because they were not close to God.
Oh, they were not. What happened? Balama Nikru Bayim Bochim. The Measures, why are they called the waters that are crying? Hashbaruch took the water and split it. Some of it stayed in Shemayim, and some came down into this world. So it chibu mayim tachtoni bochim. They started crying. The lower waters started crying. Why were they crying? They were yearning. They were desiring to come back to Hashbaruch Hu, to be close to Hashbaruch Hu. And I think if you understand this medrash, if you ask me what, if I had to use a word to describe what are tears means longing. I want something. I desire something. And I can't get it. And I cry. I want to be there, but I can't. I want to be the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but I can't. And that leads to tears. And what that means is, and Rav Hirsch says in Source 20 and 32, that tears represent the panemius of a person. It's the window into the soul. It's an emotion that comes from deep within a person. It shows who you really are. It shows your desires. It shows what you're longing for. And therefore, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says in Source 33 that the gematria of Bechi equals Lev. Because crying is connected to the heart. Crying is something that's meaningful. It's real. It's, you know what you want and you're yearning for it. Kind of, if we understand this, if you look back at all the cases that we brought, about all the cases about crying, what's happening in all of those cases is everybody's longing for something. Hagar is longing for her son to become better. Yishmael is doubting even more because he's really longing that he becomes better. And which person is the Kadosh Baruch Hu listen to? Yishmael, his longing was more. Avraham Avinu lost his wife. She's no longer here. And he cries because he's longing for Sarah. I'm going to skip Esau for a second. You come to Yosef. Yosef is the big crybaby because he's longing his whole life. He knows what it means to long for something. To sit by himself in Mitzrayim, away from his family. He's longing. And Binyamin was longing to see his brother Yosef. And both of them were longing for their mother Rachel. You think about this, they're orphans. They're longing the most. They're yearning the most. They're the ones crying the most. And what are they crying about? What are Yosef and Binyamin crying about? Moments in Jewish history where Klal Yisrael will be longing. When there's a destruction of Beis HaMikdash. When we're sitting by ourselves all alone. When Klal Yisrael's asking themselves, where's the Kadosh Baruch Hu? They were crying for those moments. Because that's a natural reaction to a moment for longing. Then you come to Rachel. And Rachel's whole essence is longing. What defines Rachel Imenu? And the Medrash tells us that why would she answer? Because she tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I gave up everything to help Leah. And you know what happened? You know why I think she was answered because of that? Again, this is my interpretation right now. You want to know why she's answered? You know what she did when she gave up those signs? She gave up Yaakov Avinu. She had to share Yaakov Avinu. You know what happened? Her sister had all the kids and she didn't. And she's always in a competition with her sister. And she, there's no question though. She's going to die and she's going to go get buried somewhere else. You know what Rachel means? That led to Rachel being someone who always longed for things. She was always longing for a husband. She was always longing and yearning for children. Her essence is one of yearning. That's how Kadosh Baruch Hu made her. And therefore her children are people who yearn. They got that from somewhere. When does Yosef cry? When he sees his brother, who's the son of his mother. It reminded him of his mother. Tears of yearning. Why does Rachel die having a child? Why is she buried on the road? Because the Torah is telling us her essence. She never gets to the final destination. She's on the side of the road. Can you imagine you had a flat tire and you could never fix it? You're sitting on the road. You know what you're saying? I wish I could be home. I wish I was there. The essence of Rachel Imenu is she's always baderech. She never gets home. And therefore she's always crying. And she can feel our pain and our yearning. And she tells us, it's okay, cry. Rachel Avakal Banel. She could cry for her children because she understands the pain of her children. She understands the feeling of when you feel like you're baderech, that you're not there, that you're lost, that you're alone, that you don't know who you are, that you don't feel like you have a relationship with Hashem. Those moments of darkness, those moments where I feel I am baderech. Rachel says, yeah, you are, and I feel that. And I'm crying for you. And it's okay to cry. Because you know what you do when you cry? You show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're longing, that you care, that you want. That's why Avraham Avinu comes, Yitzchak comes, Yaakov comes, Moshe comes, David comes. There's only one person who's constantly crying. It's Rachel. Hashem says, you're crying? You're longing? You really want me again? I'm going to bring Geula because of you. Because of your tears, Rachel. Because of you being a person of yearning and longing and desire. I want to talk about Yaakov Avinu for a second. So Yaakov doesn't make any sense. Why is Yaakov not crying? And why can't we cry at Shabbos? Because I think it's very partial. Not very partial, but this is the idea I come up with. Because Chazal tells us over and over again, what's Shabbos? Shabbos is the Inol Mahavo. Shabbos is a taste of the next world. And Shabbos is Yom Manucha. Stop everything. You know what it means? You know what Shabbos is? For one day of the week, you're there. You're not a bandera. You're there. You're with Hashem. You taste the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You have an extra neshama that connects you to God. You're in a moment of clarity. You got there. There's no longing. Shabbos is not a day of longing. Because you're there. When's the longing for Shabbos? It's interesting. How do you start Shabbos? What song do you sing as we enter Shabbos? What? Yidin Nefesh, right? What's Yidin Nefesh? Anybody ever translate the words Yidin Nefesh? It is a song of yearning. Nafshi cholas alasecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm lovesick for you. I want to be with you, Hashem. That's how you enter Shabbos, longing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at that moment, maybe there's tears. It says that when Rabbi Akiva would learn Shir Shirim before Shabbos, he was crying like a baby. When Shabbos comes, you're not crying. Because you're there with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. What are you longing for? You know when you start longing again? When do you see Yidin Nefesh again? At the end of Shabbos. Shal Shudas. As you're leaving Shabbos, as you experience what it's like to be the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're going back into the world of Rachel. You're going back into Nafshi Kol HaSavasech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to be back here. I want to stay here, Hashem. And I'm leaving. I'm going back by Derech. And you say, Hashem, Nafshi Kol HaSavasech. That's Shabbos. Chazal tell us in many places, far in Source 35, one of the places, that the Av who most resembled Shabbos, that's associated with Shabbos, is who? Yaakov Avinu. It says Yaakov Avinu set up boundaries. Those are the boundaries he set up for Yashem, those are the Eruv, he's making Eruv. He has the direct connection to Shabbos in the Torah. It says, Abraham Yogel Yitzhak Yiranen, Yaakov Uvanav Yenuchubo. Abraham and Yitzhak are dancing on Shabbos, but you know who's resting on Shabbos? Yaakov Uvanav Yenuchubo, the ones who are resting, the ones who understand the concept of Shabbos, of I'm here, I made it. Is Yaakov. Yaakov is the one that has a complete family. He reaches completion. He's in the world of Olam Haba. That's the essence of Yaakov. Someone who's living in the world of Shabbos doesn't cry. He doesn't cry because he realizes he's there. He sees the bigger picture. He's not Baderech. He got home already. And therefore, it's an interesting thing. I was looking at this. Unbelievable. Source 36. Yaakov's on his way down to the tribe before he's about to see Yosef. An unbelievable thing happens. Hashem comes to Yaakov and tells him, "Vayomer akim lisol b'maras halayla." That's at nighttime, it's dark, and they're about to go down to the tribe. Yaakov's about to go down to the tribe, but Golas is about to begin. Vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov, and he said, "Yaakov, where are you?" He said, "I'm here, Kosh Baruch Hu." Vayomer Nochi akel alokhi abicha. Al tira mimeti b'tzayim. Don't worry about going down to the tribe. It's going to be okay. I promise you it's going to be okay. In that darkness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and gives him light that tells him, Yaakov, Me'in Olam Haba, it's Shabbos. Don't worry about it. He's reminding him of who he is, of his essence. This takes place right before Yaakov meets Yosef. And Chazal tells us in Source 37 that you want to understand who Yaakov was. Shufra de Yaakov Avinu means Shufra de Adam Rishon. People explain this in different ways. The beauty of Yaakov is that the beauty of Adam. Or the face of Yaakov was the face of Adam. What does that mean? It means that Yaakov was like Adam Rishon. What is like Adam Rishon? He was in a perfected state of being. Adam was living in Gan Eden. Yaakov was also living in Gan Eden. He was in this world with the eyes of someone living in Gan Eden. And he was not Baderech. I have to think about this. Yaakov and Yosef come to meet. Come to meet. What's Yosef doing? He's crying like a baby. Why is he crying like a baby? What did Rashi say? Rashi told us because he saw it. The Medrash tells us because Yaakov said to Yosef said to Yaakov, Abba, Klal Yisrael is coming down to Mitzrayim now. Abba, we're going to be Baderech. You know what's going to happen to the Jewish people in the next 210 years? It's going to be Auschwitz times 200. Whatever. And he's sitting there crying. Because he's Rachel, he's Baderech. And what's Yaakov doing? Yaakov's saying Shema. What does that mean? He's telling Yaakov, Yosef, don't worry. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a plan. Everything's going to be okay. We don't need to cry. I can see the end. I understand. I'm already Bamakom. I'm at the place. You're Baderech. And it's going to be fine. And therefore, Yaakov's heart is connected to a different place. He has the reassurance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think the only time Yaakov cries is when he sees Rachel, and Rachel's not to be buried with him because he realizes, listen, I understand everything's okay, but there's going to be a large section of Klal Yisrael that's going to be Baderech. The fact that she has to be buried Baderech means that Yaakov's way of life is not going to work. Not everybody's going to have the eyes of Me'in Olam Haba. Not everybody's going to be able to go through darkness and realize, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Shema, everything will be fine. That we're going to need a Baderech lifestyle. That Rachel needs to be buried Baderech. And that's the one time that he cries. Because he gets drawn into that world. But besides that, he's not. Because that's what it means. What does it mean that the gates of Tefillah are closed after the Chorban? But for tears, it's not closed. Because what happened at the Chorban? At the Chorban, Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Bakum of Tefillah, why? Because we weren't having a relationship with Hashem. It wasn't real. We were fakers. We brought, again, in another show, we brought that. Klal Yisrael were big Talmidei Chachamim. They knew Shas backwards and forwards. But they weren't Yashar. They weren't Baal Midos. And therefore Hashem says, you're not real people. I don't want to have a relationship with you. And therefore Hashem says, I don't want your tefillos. It's not what I want. Don't come and just move your lips. That pathway is closed. I'm done with that pathway. Hashem says, you want to know how to daven to me? Come with your heart. Come with tears. Tears doesn't mean necessarily crying. It means that my heart is connected to God. That I want a relationship with God. That I am yearning to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when a person is yearning to come back, Hashem says, I want your tefillos. I want a relationship with you. I care about you, and I love you, because you care about me, and you love me. That's what it means. That's a shivchi kamayim libech. I don't want the tears of your eyes. I want the tears of your heart. And you know what I think happens? What does it mean, hazori b'dima b'rina yitzoru? What does it mean that you're going to plant with the tears and you're going to gather with sorrow? I think David HaMelech is teaching us. I want to teach you how tears work. You know how your tears start? Your tears start off as Hazori Bedima. They're going to be bitter tears. Tears that when you're working, when you're planting, that's very, very hard work. And you're going to be crying out of longing. But you know what the result of those tears of longing are? I think it turns into tears of celebration. That there are multiple times a person cries. There are times I cry when I'm longing for something. But then what happens when they're at your bat mitzvah and your parents give a speech and they start crying? Why are they crying? So you can be crying for one or two things. They're yearning to have you back as a little child, or those moments they remember you as a kid. Or you know what else they're crying for? I need it. I want to get you to a certain place in life, to the makom where we arrive. That when you're longing, all the things that you long for, you get there and you achieve, the result of that is also tears. And therefore we say, Kol Misal Yerushalayim, Rav Simcha says anybody who mourns for Yerushalayim, anybody who has tears for Yerushalayim, is going to see it's Simcha. You're going to have tears about when we return to Yerushalayim also. Because it'll be your longing will be Yidatah. So it's interesting. We spoke about the Mayim Bochim, the Mayim Tachonim are Bochim. The water is salty. Right? Salt water. Your tears are also salty. It's you're connecting. When you cry, you're connecting to Mayim Bochim. Mayim Tachonim are Bochim. They say, Rabbi Hawad, to be back with you. This is Rabbi Nachman, Source 39. Hamakas Amar. One time Rav Nachman said, Simon Hutaiba Gadol, that the greatest desire is when a person's thirsty. Remember, you're thirsty, it's like a big desire. You're on the Boston camp and like you're 3 hours away and you're already like thirsty. Like now having to go to the bathroom are the two worst things in camp. You know what I mean? On a bus ride when you just started going. And like they're like, we're not stopping for anything. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So the Rav Nachman is Talmud says, you want to know what that means? You know what I learned from that statement of Rabbi Nachman Kabbalah myself? You want to know what he's really talking about? Rabbi is not because Bechasuvi Mitzimah L'Hashem Yisrael. He was telling us about our Avos Hashem. That our desire for HaKadosh Baruch Hu should double be from all, that's the greatest thing that a person can have. Desire. A want. A ratzel. Because then you know what happens? A person is very thirsty and he comes to water and he finds water. You know what happens? You know how excited he is? You know how much he appreciates it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world that's about derech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world where I don't get to always see God. We spoke about this in the light and the dark this year. And you know why Hashem did that? Because He wants us to yearn for Him. Because when you yearn for it, when you get it, you'll appreciate it and you'll love it and you'll have even more simcha. This is Rachel. Rachel has, you know what you do on Rachel's yahrzeit? First of all, you cry. You gotta cry at some point today. It's good to do. You know what else you have to ask yourself on Rachel's yahrzeit? What are my desires? What do I want? What do I cry for? It's interesting. People cry for many different things. You want to know what makes them cry? When it hits their core, when it hits something that defines them, their essence. So for some people, it's shopping, or fill in the blank, whatever it is. And for other people, it's maybe close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Becoming great and close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How many of us have ever cried to be close, or to become great, and to become someone who has an impact on the world? We cry about silly things usually. I think we have to ask ourselves on Rachel's yahrzeit, what do I want to leave this year crying about? What do I want to be my essence and my core? Like, do I cry ever that like I should have children that are Yir Shamayim? I know it sounds crazy, you're not a mother yet, but do you ever cry that like I should leave this world making a spiritual impact? Do you ever cry to Hashem, Hashem, what makes me unique? How do I bring that out to the world? What can I do for the Klal Yisrael? What can I do for you? What can I do for someone else? These are questions every person needs to ask themselves today. Not tomorrow, today. Because of the source of Racha. And we're living down the block from Racha. We're in Racha and Nina's backyard. You're not in Woodbury right now. You're not in Florida. You're not in fill in the blank. You are in Rachel Imenu's backyard. And therefore we're going to finish with the tefillah from Rabbi Nachman. I so thirst for you, my God. Will I ever merit to feel you beside me? There are so many obstacles that keep me from being what I want to be, a good person, conscious of you. But only I myself can change this. And our tefillah to Hashem Baruch Hu, help me make the effort to come closer to you. Help me long and yearn and strive for your nearness. Be so close to Hashem Baruch Hu. Feel like Hashem Baruch Hu. And Bezal Hashem, when we tap into the clock, if you go to the right, when you leave Derek Cabron, it's interesting. We go to the right. Make the right decision today. Go to the right. Go to Kever Rachel. Because if you go to Kever Rachel today, Bezal Hashem will make a left on Derek Cabron, and that takes you to the Paradise. Bezal Hashem, when we become Rachel in the peace, we'll be Zolka to give the Vinyan Bezal Hashem. We'll hear the Vinyan Bezal Hashem.